It's a header on goal! And Jordan Morris has done it! Appealing in vain for offside. The Chicago Fire defenders, Jordan Morris, from the doorstep, saves the day for the Sounders.
Clear. A foot race the other way. Look who's running hard after defensively. Wayne Rooney, the net is empty. Big collision by the captain. That is unbelievable effort. Rooney putting one up. Acosta. Header. Goal. Hat-trick Acosta.
Paul picks it up. Paul's cross. Ibrahimovic. Are you serious?
It doesn't get much better than this, folks.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me is no one today. Logan is actually busy. We got to make sure we get this episode out before the playoffs start. So I'm going solo today as we recap Decision Day 2023 and look ahead to the start of the wild card round and the best of three round that starts Saturday. So we'll go through the schedule. We'll have our gripes, of course. We'll also take a look at what the USL Championship playoffs are currently looking like. So it's a playoff-filled day today as we prepare for the end of these domestic seasons of soccer in America. All right, so Decision Day. We made a guess yesterday, or last week, sorry. We made a guess last week that Decision Day, Portland would fall out of the playoffs, and they did. They ended up losing to Houston, and SKC had everything go the way they needed for SKC to get into the playoffs. Montreal drops out of the playoffs as well, while Red Bulls keep their consecutive seasons in the postseason streak alive, which is 14. Is that a good streak to have? Who really knows at this point? Because I don't know if it's enough to really hang your hat on, and I also don't know if it'll institute the sort of change that maybe needs to be done in the New York Red Bulls system. So, I don't know. Red Bull fans, let us know your thoughts on if that is a good thing to have made the playoffs in a season where maybe not much is going to happen anyway for you. Maybe they go on a run, right? I mean, who's to say? But if you were to ask me, I don't think they're about to go on any sort of run. Charlotte has also clinched a spot now as they ended up leapfrogging Montreal. Same thing with New York, and Montreal fell out. So your playoff teams in the East: Cincinnati, Orlando, Columbus, Philadelphia. That's your top four. Then you have New England Revolution, Atlanta, Nashville. Those are your top seven, and where the playoffs would have ended a year ago. Your wild card teams: New York Red Bull, Charlotte FC. So they're about to have their wild card matchups tomorrow. Wednesday is when that is going to take place. October 25th, 7:30, New York Red Bull versus Charlotte at Red Bull Arena. SKC and San Jose at 9:30 at Children's Mercy Park. Then we have a break until Saturday. The Union had to have won their game and Columbus to lose, I believe, or Philly. If Philly had just won, they would have been third anyway. They did not win. They lost to the Revolution. Now they're going to end up playing the Revolution on Saturday in game one. They both finished the season with 55 points. they both finished the season with 15 wins, 9 losses, and 10 draws. So it comes down to the goal differential for Philly, which was a positive 16 to New England's positive 12. If that had been tied, it would have went goals 4, which New England actually has the edge in. So Philly ends up through a tiebreaker, getting 4th in the East and hosting games 1 and game 3, if it happens, games 1 and game 3 of the best of 3, which we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how this is all scheduled because it is a mess. it is a mess. One good thing to know, I guess, is that the first few games here, Philly and New England, LAFC Vancouver, Houston, Salt Lake, Cincy and the Wild Card, St. Louis and the Wild Card are all free on Apple TV if you're looking to watch the playoffs. And the two Wild Card matchups versus the one seeds, so whoever wins of New York and Charlotte against Cincy, and whoever wins of SKC and San Jose against St. Louis, will also be on FS1 and Fox Deportes. So pretty interesting how they're going to be structuring these out. The wildcard games are not free, though. You are going to have to pay to watch Red Bull, Charlotte, Kansas City, San Jose. If you haven't subscribed already to the season pass. Over in the West, St. Louis finished top of the West, Seattle's in second, LAFC in third, and Houston in fourth. That's what Houston was playing for when they ended up knocking Portland out. They wanted to get a home game, and they did. They got the home field advantage by getting that fourth spot. RSL, Vancouver, Dallas round out the top of the playoffs. And then Kansas City, San Jose, of course, is the wild card matchup. Portland misses by a point. Minnesota missed by 3 points. Austin, LA, and Colorado have been eliminated for about 2 weeks. So those are your playoff fields there. So let's take a look at how they're scheduling these best of threes and how that happens. So like we said, the wild card matchups start tomorrow, 7:30 Eastern for New York and Charlotte, 9:30 Eastern for SKC San Jose. That is a one game tournament game. So play-in, whatever you want to call it. They're going to play one game, then they're going to get the winner will go ahead and face off against the top seeds of the East and the West. And we were kind of debating how this would start, you know, like what team is going to be starting the playoffs on Saturday for the best of three round. And they've chosen some odd options. There were some reports out there that the Union were originally supposed to have game one on the 30th or the 31st, like very close to, or maybe November 1st, something like that. It was supposed to be kind of more midweek. It got shifted kind of last minute to the weekend on Saturday. So we're going to have the 4 and 5 seed of the East and the 3rd and 6th seed of the West are going to kick off the playoffs on Saturday. Philadelphia Union hosting New England in game 1. LAFC hosting Vancouver at 8 o'clock. Philly and New England's at 5. I'm going to be at that game. So, you know, make sure you follow us on the socials and you'll probably see me posting some stuff from the game. But yeah, I'm going to be at the Philly and New England. And the way that these best of three works is you have to win 2 games to move on. And not just that, but you also have to outright win, meaning that they're not going to go extra time. It's going to go straight to penalties if they are tied after 90 minutes. And that's going to be what happens at the end of game 1 and game 2 and game 3. Now you only have to win 2. So of course there might be an option where somebody sweeps a team and then has a pretty long layoff, because we're going to look at the schedule here in just a second. Sunday game 1s, we also have Houston Salt Lake at 6 o'clock, Cincy wildcard team at 8 o'clock, and St. Louis wildcard team at 10 o'clock. Then on Monday, October 30th, we have Orlando and Nashville at 7, Seattle and Dallas at 9. Those are free and on FS1 as well. And then on the November 1st, we get another game 1, Columbus and Atlanta. Then what happens here is November 4th, we kind of start game 2s. But they do it in this weird way. So now it's going to be Wildcard and Cincy having their game 2 at 7 o'clock on Saturday, November 4th. Dallas and Seattle will have their second game on that day as well. Sunday, November 5th is Wildcard and St. Louis, Vancouver, and LAFC. Then you're not going to get the Union and Red Revolution until November 8th for game 2. A long layoff. Salt Lake and Houston have game 2 on Monday, November 6th. Atlanta, Columbus have game 2 November 7th. And Nashville, Orlando have game 2 November 7th as well. November 8th is that game 2 for the Revs and Philly. November 9th is LAFC Vancouver game 3, if necessary. The 10th, Seattle, Dallas, if necessary. And then all these are if necessary. Cincy, wildcard winner on Saturday, November 11th. Houston, Salt Lake, St. Louis versus wildcard winner. Sunday, November 12th versus Philly and New England. Orlando, Nashville, and Columbus, Atlanta. So some of these are weird. And what we've heard is that maybe some of this has to do with NFL schedule for the Patriots and for the Revs. And some of it may also have to deal with the fact that the Phillies, depending on tonight's game, may win the World Series and also be having the World Series going on at the same time that these playoffs are going on with the Union. So just kind of wanting to, I guess, avoid some of this congestion around the area, or, you know, being able to have the fans watch their team. I'm not really sure, but the long layoff, I think until November 8th is kind of where we're at, because I think November 5th, the Patriots have a game there. So I think that is why the New England hosted game has to be kind of a midweek. Regardless, it kind of sucks. Then what you also have is if somebody wins game 2, right? What's our earliest game 2? Our earliest game 2 is Saturday, November 4th. So if somebody sweeps, let's say Dallas and Seattle. Seattle sweeps Dallas in 2 games. They don't have to play the 3rd game. That's November 4th. The rest of the rounds will not end until the 12th. It's already more than a week layoff. The other issue you run into is right after this 12th, we have an international break. And the playoffs are not going to go on during that international break. So that is a problem. That is a huge problem where you're going to have people just sitting around. I would assume we're going to have some sweeps. And if that's the case, they might be sitting around for 2 to 3 weeks. Because let's take a look at the dates again. The other rounds, after this ends on the 12th. Oh no, I clicked the wrong link here. So after they clinch the 12th, so this round ends on the 12th. So we're going from the 28th to the 12th as it is. To play 3 games, by the way. That is a long, drawn out first round. The other issue you have with this scenario, I would say, is in a perfect world, I would suggest that the best of 3 should be played in 1 week. It should be Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, in my opinion. Not Saturday, no game for a week, then Wednesday, then Saturday right after again. I think that is going to be a problem we might see as we're watching these games as the rounds continue. Unfortunately, that seems to be the way that it might go here. If you have people go to game three, great. But then you kind of get this, like I said, the international break kind of enters in and puts a halt on the playoffs, where we're just sitting around waiting until we can continue the playoffs. And that's unfortunate, because I feel like you're going to lose any sort of momentum. And the other issue becomes when, how many people are actually going to watch all three best of threes of a particular series if it doesn't have their team in it? That is a problem, I think, that might cause this to not be as successful either. You know, just thinking like, all right, what's my rush to watch game one if it's not going to seal anything, right? Now, I'll watch them, right? Because I even watched all these MLB playoffs, you know, almost every game of those series. My team's not involved. I'll watch all of these game ones, game twos, game threes. But the issue is there, right? The issue is there that at some point it's going to be a problem, because you might have some series that just don't have any appeal, just don't have any draw. And you're probably only going to have people watch maybe game twos and maybe game threes of some of these tournaments, some of these series. I was open to the idea of the best of three with the way that it's been scheduled. I'm not really feeling it. I feel like it's going to be a bit of a slog. The fact that it's going from the 28th to the 12th, I feel like is going to be a slog. I was thinking this would be a week, you know, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. That's perfect. That is a perfect time. You know, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. You're done in a week, not two or longer. Right? Is it 2 weeks? It's 2 weeks. So you'd be done in 1 week instead of 2 weeks, and then I would go right into the next round. But the issue is that they want these things on TV, so they have to worry about TV scheduling. Apple wanted games like every day for their, you know, that's why they added the best of three, is to have more games on the schedule. But it's unfortunate that I think it's going to suck some of the air out and some of the wind out of the sails here of the playoffs. But yeah, so Portland out, Montreal out, Charlotte and Red Bulls in, SKC get in. Should be a heck of a time though, these wild card matchups tomorrow. If I had to make my picks right now, I'm going to go with Charlotte, who's been playing well, and I'd probably go with Sporting Kansas City. I know the Quakes have been good all season long. They've kind of dipped a bit recently, while SKC has been kind of inconsistent. SKC is hosting it, by the way. They were actually able to leapfrog San Jose. So I'm going to go with Children's Mercy Park here and go Sporting Kansas City, beating San Jose Earthquakes. And I'm going to go Charlotte on the road, beating New York Red Bull to knock them out of the playoffs. And that would set up a Charlotte-Cincy matchup, the two Queen Cities going up against it. And then we would also have a St. Louis-Kansas City matchup. That'd be fun. That'd be fun. A little Missouri matchup. That could be a lot of fun. What we're going to do at the end of the season here at some point, maybe during one of these international breaks, we can break this out here, since we'll have a gap where no games are going on, where maybe we want to do a report card at the end of the season for some of these teams. And we could probably get a head start on doing those reflections with some of these knocked out teams. I think that would be a pretty fun way to kick some stuff off, but Logan and I will talk it over and see what we're gonna, how we're gonna approach this. Okay, so There's your MLS playoff preview there. It's hard to guess how this is going to go. Philly just played the New England Revolution. They lost in New England. They're going to be going back home for game one. Like I said, I'll be there. They haven't really looked like they're playing inspired football. We also have the problems of the Kai Wagner and Ali Bedoya stuff. Contract disputes. The whole vibe just doesn't feel right there. And kind of worried about them. Now they have three games, which means you have a little bit of buffer room to lose the first game and have a wake-up call, right? That's kind of the plus side of the best of three. But they got to be careful. I think LAFC will beat Vancouver. I think they'll move on. Excuse me. I think they'll move on pretty quickly. I'm going to go Houston over RSL. I'll go Cincy over Charlotte because I have Charlotte moving on, and I'll have St. Louis over SKC in that series. I'll have Orlando beating Nashville and Seattle beating Dallas. And one of my favorites here for going a little deep here is Columbus Crew. I think the Crew can be pretty dangerous. They go up against Atlanta. I could see them beating Atlanta, moving on there. You know, and wrapping up this this first round. I think most of these series will probably go two games, if I had to guess. I think maybe games like Nashville, where they're more defensive, could probably go three. St. Louis could probably go three, especially if it's against a rival like SKC. Cincy, I'm assuming, will go two games. Houston RSL could go three. I think I'm going to go ahead and say that. I think Houston RSL are going to go three games. Philly Revs are going three games. Just the vibe I'm getting right now. I think Philly Revs are going three games. But we'll be here talking through it. I mean, we really record usually on Tuesdays. And Tuesdays, there's no games after the last game one. So we'll kind of break down the game one action next week, I think. Even if it's Wednesday when the games kind of resume again, we'll pick games back up again and, you know, kind of talk about what that first round of the best of three look like and how it's shaping up. Denny Bawanga won the Golden Booty at 20 goals. Luciano Costa had 17. Giakoumakis had 17. Assists. Almada had the most assists. And clean sheets. Stefan Fry, actually. All right, let's take a look at San Diego. I don't think we talked about this last week. I think it dropped later in the week. I think it was Friday that this disappointment dropped. let me share my screen here. For the video viewers here, this is the San Diego expansion team, which when we did our guesses 2 weeks ago, I asked Logan, what is it going to be called? San Diego SC or San Diego FC? He said SC. I said FC. I was right. It's San Diego FC. And they released this monstrosity of a badge for the team. I don't know. Their colors are chrome and azul. I don't really understand it. The San Diego Loyal died for this. It is deeply depressing. There's nothing that screams San Diego about this badge. There's nothing that even... It looks generic. It looks like something you'd use in a EA Create Your Club type of thing, unfortunately. And I'm starting to think that people are right, that maybe there is an MLS mandate here on names, because since Portland has entered the league, I think they were the last one to come in with a name like Portland Timbers. Since they've entered the league, all we've gotten are United's, SC's, FC's, CF's. It's ridiculous. This has no identity. At least Miami has like the Herons. Nashville has like the cool sound waves. What the hell is this, right? It's a ball because we play soccer, but you know, it's football club. So football, we play football. Looks like a ball of yarn. I mean, I don't really understand what this is supposed to be. San Diego is in like the most basic font you can find. Huge bummer. I used to love when we get to see what a new club crest looks like. Unfortunately, this is what we were given. So I don't know if it's an MLS mandate. I don't know what it is. People have pointed out 2015 is also when they unveiled the new MLS logo, which is more generic. So who knows what it is, but this is just a huge disappointment. It doesn't look like a real football club logo. I don't know. Chrome and azul are the colors. Okay, so here's what the crest means. Central to San Diego FC's crest is the flow. Oh, Jesus. Compromised of 18 lines representing the 18 communities of San Diego County woven into one. San Diego is displayed at the top of the crest in the form of an arc. It's arch. Inspired by iconic neighborhood arches and signs around Greater San Diego. The shield shape represents the strength and unity of their community. The chrome finish on the shield reflects the colors of the community in the outer layer of the crest. So instead of using the colors in the crest, the chrome reflects these colors. Who sits here and looks at a ball of yarn-esque thing here and says, oh, there's 18 lines. That represents the 18 communities in San Diego County. Do San Diego people actually know there's 18 communities? I don't know how many communities are in my county. This is a weird thing. It's barely in an arc, too, for people to say, like, oh, it's in an arch pattern. It's barely in an arch. Wow. Disappointment. Let me know your thoughts on what you think of the San Diego crest, because I have not seen anybody at all say anything positive about this crest. All right, let's look at USL. This should be fun. This should be fun as the winner of the Shield, Pittsburgh, Riverhounds. They were the best team in the league this year. They get bounced by the 8 seed in the East immediately. Detroit City wins that game. Away from home. Huge upset in this. Detroit City. Memphis loses to Louisville. Louisville will now go and face Detroit. Louisville, the 5 seed. Detroit, the 8 seed. Charleston Battery beat the Indy 11. And Birmingham with the upset. They were pretty good early in the season. They fell off. Tampa Bay were bad in this beginning of the season. They came up. Tampa Bay got as high as the 2 seed, and Birmingham fell as low as the 7 seed, and Birmingham wins and will face Charleston in the next round. That's exciting. Over in the West, Sacramento Republic beat New Mexico, so the 1 seed over there got the job done. San Antonio beat Colorado Springs Switchbacks. The defending champs move on to face Sac Republic. Phoenix defeat San Diego Loyal, the 3 seed, and San Diego are now defunct. This was disappointment here. They were able to equalize late. They got a penalty. I was watching that game. They got a penalty. They scored it. Ronaldo, their player, scored a hat trick Phoenix right before they go to penalties. Pretty much gets the win, get the fourth goal, and they move on. But San Diego Loyal are now closing up shop. I feel sorry for all the fans. Let us know if you're a Loyal fan and also are going to support the new San Diego FC, or, you know, how that's going to go in that market, or who's going to support that team. And then Orange County beat El Paso Locomotive, and they will face Phoenix in the next round. What's the schedule looking like? It's looking like this. This Friday, Sac Republic and San Antonio, they battle it out on ESPN Plus and Sirius XM at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can watch it on ESPN Plus. You can listen to it on Sirius XM. Saturday, October 28th, Charleston Battery and Birmingham Legion at 7 p.m. on ESPN Plus. And Louisville versus Detroit also on ESPN Plus. That's at 7:30. Later in the evening at 10 o'clock, it's Orange County SC and Phoenix Rising on ESPN Plus. And that is your upcoming matchups here. We only have four matchups. How quickly that's going to go. They don't do any weird best of things there. Like I mentioned last week, these playoffs are going to be wrapped up by the last of the best of three gets played in this first round that kicks off the same weekend as the conference semifinals. Crazy. But that final, the USL final, is going to be on ESPN2 and SiriusXM Sunday, November 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be watching it. I hope everyone else is as well. Support local soccer, not just Major League Soccer. And speaking of that, we had a great episode earlier this week of a bonus podcast that I put out on the feeds. It's technically part of my Charm City Soccer Cast spinoff. It was an interview with Nicholas Seiler, who also is a Baltimore sports fan, Baltimore soccer fan the way I am, but he's also running a club. Baltimore City Football Club that launched earlier this year, their plans of the future, what he sees in the Baltimore market, all of that good stuff is what we chatted about over on Charm City SoccerCast. I put it on the Stateside Soccer Show feed. I also put it on our Closed Pyramid feed, so that way people can find it. If you're interested in checking that out, make sure you do. It was a lot of fun. We're looking for more stuff like that too. So if you know anybody connected to lower clubs in America that maybe want to get the message across on what they're doing in their markets, what it's like to run a small team like that, they just want to get the word out. If they're doing anything fun or cool, interesting, let us know. Or if you are a member of one of those clubs, contact us and we'll make sure we can work something out to get more interviews like this. Especially during this off season, stuff like that will be really interesting. We find these lower level clubs to be so interesting. There's so much more. There's a lot of culture there when it comes to some of these clubs that, you know, probably know that they're never going to reach Major League Soccer, and how that might not even matter for them, right? Because they are just very excited to be able to have a local club to connect to. And that's kind of where I've been coming from with wanting a Baltimore team in my area. A lot of our Maryland teams that we talk about on there are kind of closer to the Annapolis or DC area and not as, you know, as accessible to me without taking a really super long car ride. So having a team like a Baltimore team is like 35 minutes away off of 95. That's a lot more doable for me. So make sure you check out that interview, and hopefully we have more of that stuff coming down the pike for everyone. I guess it's actually supposed to be coming down the pipe, right? But there you go. Anyway, that is most of our show today. See, I'm a lot more. I don't know, a lot faster when I don't have anyone to bounce off of, I guess. But yeah, so I'm really excited to see how these playoffs start shaking out. The downside, like I've mentioned a couple times now, it's going to take us 2 weeks to see how this first round goes. And we'll have plenty of thoughts on how this goes as we continue watching the playoffs. So we'll be sharing our thoughts weekly throughout the playoffs. Yeah, we'll give you a little update on the USL playoffs as well at the end of each round. So probably next week we'll talk about, you know, what just the conference semifinals as we look ahead to the final four in the conference finals of the USL championship playoffs, because they'll be wrapped up in 2 weeks. And then MLS will really start getting started once the international break's over. All right, yeah, so if you want to reach us, you can contact us at Stateside Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of that good stuff. We have the same handle, statesideshow@gmail.com. We are looking forward to these playoffs, the upcoming international break where we get back in the Nations League, USL playoffs, all of that good stuff is coming our way, and we are very excited. After the season, like I said, we'll do report cards on how we thought each of these clubs did. Was it a successful season? That's the question we always ask, right, at the beginning in our previews. What is a successful season for the club? Did they meet those markers, or did they fall short? And we will grade them on not just that requirement too. We'll grade them on a whole bunch of other requirements, but looking forward to starting that soon as well. Hope you all have a great rest of your week. We will catch you next time when we talk about game one of the best of three series.